then we'll, once we get done with the invited testimony of the three or four people, we'll close the public hearing, move into the informational hearing on dedicated funding, and then if we have time left, we'll have some public testimony towards the end of the hearing. So with that, Representative Olson, welcome to the committee.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, my name is Andy Olson. I'm state representative from the Albany area. House Bill 3535 is a pretty simple bill. It creates the Oregon State Police Patrol Division Fund and dedicates 1% of the general fund revenue to the Oregon State Police Patrol Division. Having served 29 years with the state police, I'm excited for my old agency. This is a long time in coming. It restores 140 troopers and ensures we have 24 hours of coverage on the main highways of the state and provides an opportunity for future growth. And now that my backup has arrived from the Fish and Wildlife Division.
To save you, I can always do.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Currently, the Oregon State Police has about 287 troopers in the patrol division. That is about the same amount of troopers that were in the mid-1950s when the state of Oregon was building I-5. Up until 1979, the Oregon State Police Patrol Division had a dedicated funding source, and that source was the Highway Trust Fund. And a lot of this I can, you know, I'm just going to kind of skip through with you because you have my testimony in front of you. But what I do want to share with you today is that we are gathered here to make the Oregon State Police a priority. House Bill 3535 is a simple solution to a serious problem. I greatly appreciate where what we did today on the floor for the state police budget. If you want to see a reduction in fatal and serious injury crashes on our state highways, if you want to see interdictions increased on the state's pipeline removing dope from our state, if you want to see transportation move more freely supporting the economy in our communities, and if you just want to see our highways be a more safe place to travel, House Bill 3535 moves towards those outcomes. I appreciate your time in hearing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson, and we appreciate your work not only as a state trooper but all session trying to move these issues forward. Any questions for Representative Wilson? Representative Krieger.
Representative Shields, committee members. For the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, state rep, District 1, South Coast. Representative Olson has really kind of put everything together as to what we're dealing with. And we know we're 40 troopers short. We heard that on the House floor today. That's about what we're short. We know it's going to take about another $4.2 million. And I don't know anyone that doesn't want to do it. I've never had a state representative who says we shouldn't invest those dollars. And it's kind of like you saw it today. And I'm not going to impugn anybody, because what's most important is we find a way to fund them. And if the Democrats want to take credit for you, do it. I'm going to be right there shouting for you. But we need to make sure we get the 24 coverage. And the other issue that came out, I was home on the weekend, and Curry County has asked the governor for a declaration of disaster, and they're not going to have any road deputies in that lower 90 miles or so of the southern Oregon coast has got three troopers on Highway 101 and all the county roads, some fairly major ones. There isn't going to be anybody there, nobody for backup. And I just talked to the superintendent a few minutes ago and encouraging him to try to either move some people down there temporarily or some mechanism to pick up the slack before we get things out of control. And as I said, most everybody wants this. I think the citizens of Oregon want it, and I think we have an obligation, if you look at our Constitution about public safety, to make sure we do it. It should be a bipartisan thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Krieger. Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate the testimony.
Mr. Chair, just following on, I appreciate the opportunity for invited testimony in this, too. Following up here, I have Trooper Bob Dicey to share his perspective, Sergeant Craig Floral, and then also Captain Travis Hampton to follow up.
And so with Mr. Dicey, Mr. Floral can come up, and then Captain Hampton after that.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Bob Dicey. I'm a trooper with the Oregon State Police assigned to the Capitol Mall Patrol Office in the Patrol Division. I have been a member of the State Police for 20 years. Before becoming a trooper, I served as a cadet for 5 seasons with the State Police. I began my career as a trooper in Newport and then transferred to Albany. Beginning in 1995, I was assigned to the Sworn Applicant Processing Unit seeking candidates for this agency. This was driven because of the projected 47% retirement-based attrition rate the agency was anticipating. For the next 5 years, the efforts in reaching out to colleges, military bases, and the private sector created a substantial response from a variety of potential candidates. Through networking, we were able to develop partnerships with other agencies throughout the nation. Additionally, we sold Oregon. And what I mean by selling Oregon is we came up with creative ideas on taking the recruiting unit to other states and talking to prospective candidates about what this state has to offer besides the job as an Oregon State Police officer. When we did this, when we went out on the road and we recruited at these universities and these colleges and military bases, we also took brochures of Oregon that I worked diligently with the State Tourism Department to sell the state of Oregon. Between the attitude of selling Oregon and by bringing our own personal life experience to candidates, the applications were abundant. The overriding driver for this unit was to ensure the Oregon State Police would continue providing the best people possible for the security and safety of the public 24 hours around the clock average. I believe the leadership envisioned the importance of making the recruiting unit a priority in seeking the best candidate to ensure the welfare of the motoring public. In closing, dedicated source of funding would go a long way in preserving the safety the people of Oregon, of the public, has become accustomed to. Thank you.
Good testimony. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Craig Flurl. I'm a patrol sergeant stationed out of the Albany Patrol Office. First off, I want to give some thanks and appreciation for what happened on the floor today. And the number of troopers that was approved. This certainly is a step in the right direction to get back to adequate staffing. And it's a pleasure for me to see the first-line supervisor in that my task is to make sure that the men and women we hire provide the level of service that is expected of our citizens from an Oregon State trooper. With that being said, I've been with the department about 11 years. I started out my career in Astoria. Transferred to the Albany office, and I was immediately signed under Andy Olson's command as a resident trooper in Eastland County. My primary job focus for 4.5 years was to provide law enforcement service to Eastland County, and specifically the St. Anne Pass, and also the Tombstone Pass. Due to staffing shortages, unfortunately, that job, which was one of the best jobs I've had on the agency, came to an end because of staffing, and I was pulled down to the I-5 corridor. Because of that, the St. Anne Pass, the Tombstone Pass, there's a huge void there that the state police, unfortunately, is not in a position to patrol on a proactive basis regularly. We're in a position right now where we have to draw from 4 different patrol offices to get patrols up there, and unfortunately, a lot of the times it's in a reactionary mode. It certainly is an area where adequate staffing, in an effort to get our numbers up, is an area that needs attention that is outside of what a lot of people look at as I-5. So.
Great. Thanks, Sergeant. Any questions for Senior Trooper Dicey or Sergeant Flora? Thank you very much for your testimony, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Captain Hampton.
Chair Shields, members of the committee, nice to see you all again. Senator Westland's already admonished me for not wearing a tie to our state's capital from when I represent Central Oregon, but I didn't know I was going to be here today, so my apologies. My testimony is fairly brief. I'm speaking today to represent not only my region in Central and Eastern Oregon, but Superintendent McLean, who earlier today had called several members of our management team, people in key positions, to talk about what our next step is. Where do we go from here? How do we serve as stewards of the funds you provide to us? One common theme from every member of our agency is obviously 24/7 patrol coverage is a priority for both you and us. The ability to recruit qualified employees, the ability to train and retain those employees once we hire them, and to take advantage of efficiencies and technology. One common denominator in all these goals is an adequate funding source. And like I said, my testimony is fairly brief. I just want to echo Sergeant Fleurel's comments that I appreciate your efforts. The 100 troopers does not quite get us to the 24/7 that we hope to achieve. But once again, we appreciate your efforts. I understand that adequate funding is an issue you are facing and discussing, that we appreciate your efforts as we attempt to achieve these common goals. And I just want to give you my personal and professional assurance that the money that you allocate to the Department of State Police will be spent wisely and in accordance with those goals under our new leadership with Superintendent McLean and the efforts that we're all trying to achieve with these common goals of 24/7 safer highways. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Captain Hampton?
Well, just a comment, Mr. Chair. I believe my remarks were that that's the best looking tie I've ever seen a captain wear, and certainly much better than Jeff Leedy is wearing right now. That's what I think, you know, my comments really were, you know, intended to convey.
And by the way, Captain, I understand that Representative Girard had a breach with the law over the weekend, had a speeding ticket, and you happen to have video of that interaction. We would love to see it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cameron.
Mr. Chair, I, first of all, in all seriousness, I want to thank the state police for the service they give us, especially this week and tragedies. But I know I saw several on my way up and down the highway this weekend. But I want to clarify, I didn't remember the representative say that he actually received a ticket.
Oh. He was pulled over.
Oh. Chair Shields, I'll report back immediately.
Actually, that's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony and your service to the state.
You know, if we got film of that, we're not talking 4-2 here. We're talking 5-2, 6-2.
Representative Olson, at this point, was there other invited testimony?
That was it.
Okay, thank you very much. And I think we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 3535 and open an informational hearing on dedicated funding, and then we'll allow public testimony on either of these ideas towards the end of the session. Let's see, at this point, could I bring forward Senator Monroe and Representative Esquivel, and then after that, Representative Butler and Senator Metzger.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for holding this hearing. You'll notice that I am wearing my blue shirt and my blue tie to represent the thin blue line getting thinner out there that stands between all of us in anarchy. Dedicated funding for state troopers is something that has been on my... Rod Monroe, Senate District 24. Dedicated funding for troopers is something that's been on my mind since the last dedicated funding was taken away in 1980, and I was a member of the, much younger than I am now, member of the House of Representatives, and I said at that time that although it made sense to free up more highway money, that troopers would not fare well if they on a regular basis had to compete with K-12 funding, universities, jails, and so on. And in fact, that's what's happened. We have less than half as many troopers today as we had. You have my testimony here. We have the lowest number of state troopers per 100,000 population of any state in the union, and you can see the numbers there. It also happens to be a fact that we have the lowest beer tax of any state in the nation. I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, what we need is something that is bicameral and bipartisan. It must have support from Republicans and Democrats in the House and Republicans and Democrats in the Senate if it's going to pass. So I took a look at 3535 and the idea behind dedicating some of the general fund to a dedicated fund for state troopers. And you'll see in this plan that we have dedicated in lieu of general fund, but in effect it's the same thing, in lieu of general fund, we have dedicated half of the general fund portion of the OLCC money, which gets us $89 million in this biennium, and then it grows over time. That's approximately equal to the $96 million that's in the Ways and Means budget that the House voted on today and that the Senate voted on about a week ago. In fact, it frees up about $7 million of additional money to be used for something else, like maybe the college in Monmouth that has to train all these new officers would be a good place to spend it, or whatever, you know, the Ways and Means process decides they want to do with that other $7 million. It also creates, for state troopers, dedicated $39 million in the first biennium from a 5-cent beer tax, and that grows over time. It also provides additional, significant additional revenue for counties and a bit for cities for to be used for law enforcement. We know that our district attorneys are among the lowest paid in the nation. They could use it for that. We know that many of our jails sit empty because we can't keep them open. Multnomah County, for example, has had one for some time. We know that the sheriff's offices are being cut back in many rural counties, so this would provide additional money there. We also know that alcohol rehabilitation programs, detox, mental health that are related to alcohol are underfunded. This provides a considerable amount of money for them. 30% then of the new revenue goes to those kinds of programs, cities, counties, alcohol rehab, mental health, etc. 70% goes directly into a dedicated fund for state troopers. Now, why is using half of the general fund portion of the OLCC money a better way to go than just general fund money? Because it can't be messed with. It can't be tinkered with. It would be very, very difficult for future legislatures to tamper with this. If you simply dedicate a percentage of the general fund, and we looked at that, future Ways and Means chairs, committees could tinker with it, change it, adjust it without a bill, just in the Ways and Means process. To mess with this plan, they would have to pass a bill through the House and the Senate, signed by the governor, to steal the troopers' money. I don't think that'll ever happen. Now, what do you get with this package? You get at least 100 new troopers in the next three biennia, up over 600 where we were 25 years ago, and $50 million additional reserves so they could actually go beyond that 100 a biennium. They could actually go to the 140 to get the 24/7 right away in the first biennium if they wanted to. It does have that latitude. I have worked. I said it had to be bicameral and it had to be bipartisan. So you see that I'm here with my friends from the House who happen to be from the other political party. I'm a Democrat. Sal is a Republican. Tom Butler has been working closely with us, is a Republican. Andy Olson has been in our meetings, is a Republican. Jeff Barker, former policeman, is a Democrat. I have kept the Speaker and the Majority Leader and other leaders, the Ways and Means people, appraised each step of the way. They know what we're about. They didn't give me much hope of getting this thing passed, but they know what we're about. And I've also been talking regularly with my colleagues in the Senate. There are key Republicans in the Senate who will support this package, as well as many Democrats that will support this package. So with that, I'd like to let my good friend, Representative Escobar, have some comments, and then we'd be happy to take your questions. Senator Metzger has also been working with us regularly, and so you might want to call him and Tom up next or see what Andy has to say about this. They've all been involved.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. We appreciate your testimony. Representative Esquivel, welcome to the committee. Yeah,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford. This is something that I've been personally working on for quite some time on dedicated funding. You can see I just handed you a chart that shows you how, in a bipartisan manner, we have literally destroyed our state police force in the state of Oregon. This hasn't happened overnight. It's happened over a number of years, 30 to be exact. And you can see the continual decline. Why is that a continual decline? It's because we have left that entity in the general fund. It's easy to not do an adequate job of funding with the state police and erode it and erode it and erode it. And if you look at the way that graph goes, it's been eroded and eroded and eroded since 1979. Actually, I'll give you some statistics, which I also spoke to on the floor today. 1976, Josephine County had 35 troopers. Jackson County had 40 troopers. Today, with our job that we've done with the state troopers, we have 8 in Josephine County and 11 in Jackson County. Population's increased 40%. Obviously, we haven't kept pace with even population. Now, the other thing that's going on is when we lose, and notice I say when we lose O&C revenue, we will lose O&C revenue. That's going to have a dramatic effect on a lot of our counties. With the bill that the senator has proposed, that we've taken actually several ideas and put them together into kind of a hybrid bill, we're going to be able to backfill some of that with money, but more importantly, with the 650 troopers that we should have in about 3 bienniums, I think that's pretty close, isn't it, 100?
You bet.
We should end up to be able to provide some leadership with these counties and to be able to backfill some of these. Josephine County just gave 43 sheriff's officers their pink slip. Gun purchases are up immensely in Josephine County. Concealed weapons permits are up in Josephine County. We need to step in. We need to provide the leadership. We need to provide the funding and have the backbone of an adequate force within the state of Oregon in order to help rural counties when they lose these funds. Because, folks, sure as I'm sitting here, we're going to lose that funding. It's going to dry up. It's going to go away. So it's up to us to make plans for the future in order to compensate for the loss. This is, in my opinion, not only good for alcohol rehab, but also local police, local sheriff's departments, and more importantly, our state police. 1970s and 80s, we used to get at least one bust a month between Medford and Roseburg by the state police on drugs. Today, you're going to be real lucky if you get one a year. Do we think that there's less traffic? Not hardly. There's a lot more now than there was 20 years ago. We just don't have the ability to catch them. I'll give you another example that happened over in Jackson, Josephine, and Klamath counties. We had a fatality up on Highway 140 when 4 people lost their lives. We had not one state trooper available in Jackson or Klamath County at the time. That's not acceptable, folks. We need this funding. We need to consider this. But more importantly, it's a dedicated funding, one that we cannot tamper with without having to jump through a bunch of hoops in front of the public. And I think that's the way to do it, because obviously from the results of the graph that I've given you in the general fund, doesn't work. So hopefully we'll consider this and go forward in a bipartisan, bicameral way.
Thank you, Sal. Let me make one final point. The neat thing about using alcohol taxes to fund troopers is not only that there is a clear nexus between the kind of problems created by alcohol and the need for troopers, but also alcohol funding is recession-proof. People keep drinking even when the economy goes in the toilet. This will allow our state troopers certainty in terms of their funding and a growth, a gradual growth in their funding over time. This is not a temporary fix. This is a permanent fix to this problem. I urge you to give it your blessing, and then we'll go forward to the House Revenue Committee, get it introduced, and it will come back to you.
I would like to add one thing, Mr. Chair, if it's okay.
Please.
83% of all alcohol sales in the state of Oregon are beer. 83% of all alcohol sales.
Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator and Representative, for coming and presenting these ideas. A couple questions. Senator, you referred to, I think you referred to the general fund bill. Were you referring to House Bill 3535 when you were speaking about we could mess with the general fund?
There have been various proposals for taking a portion of the general fund, 1% or 2% or 0.5%, and dedicating it. I've been told that Ways and Means in the future could, through their budget process, erode that.
And maybe this is for our staff. The way I read, just to follow up, the way I read House Bill 3535 is that it actually does two things. It puts 1%, but it also puts it into a dedicated state treasury fund. Appropriates that money into that fund. So the way I interpret House Bill 3535, it would take, in fact, a majority on if we pass this bill, it would take a majority on the House and the Senate and the governor to stop that 1% from going into that fund. Is that not true?
Mr. Wilson, you want to take a crack at that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, and mine is definitely not a definitive view on this since I'm not an attorney, but it may be able to be done within the appropriation bill for the agency. It may be able to. I'd have to check with counsel. The dedication of the beer or the OLCC or the beer and wine would have to be done in a separate bill away from the appropriation bill in the future. I will need to check definitively on that.
Can I follow up, if I may?
Follow up.
It's the first time I've seen this proposal, and thanks for bringing it forward and sharing it with this. My question is on the dedicated, the first part of the 50% of the revenues collected by the OLCC. Those are today's revenues that are collected?
50% of the 56% that goes to the general fund. We don't mess with the distribution of current OLCC money, which is mostly hard liquor money, but includes a little bit of beer and a little bit of wine. And 56% of it currently goes to the general fund. We would take half of that.
Follow up, if I may. So how many dollars is that today in today's... In other words, we're talking about general fund money.
Yeah.
We're talking about 50% of 56% that flows to the general fund money, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same dollars as general fund dollars. How much is that today that we're talking about?
$89 million for the biennium. If you look at the second page of my handout, you can see down there in the next to the last box, the third box down, share of Oregon Liquor Control Commission, $89,774,000, etc. And this would go along with the 70% of the new beer tax revenue into a dedicated fund, separate fund that could draw interest and would draw interest and could not be touched for anything other than OSP funding.
One more, if I may.
Sure.
So that would be the same concept as in House Bill 3535, where we would just take existing general fund dollars, which we could say is part of the 56% that's already flowing into the general fund, and put it into an existing treasury, or form a new treasury account and put it into there and allow that to collect interest and appropriate to the state police out of that fund.
Two differences, Mr. Chair and Representative Cameron. Liquor revenue, OLCC liquor revenue, grow steadily and have been growing faster than inflation. And so by dedicating half of that 56%, the growth over time would be greater than if we simply dedicated a portion of the general fund. Also, general fund goes up and down. We do have had some downturns, and if it turned down, they would get less in the future. And then the second difference is the one that your LFO staff described, that it might be possible, we don't have a legal opinion, I'm not an attorney either, but it might be possible through the Ways and Means process during tough budgetary times for them to reach in and grab some of that money if it's just general fund. Whereas if it's a dedicated portion of the OLCC revenue, they couldn't do that without passing a bill through both houses.
And signed by the governor.
Signed by the governor.
One more? Just one more.
Okay.
Do you have the numbers without the new 5%, or was it a nickel per bottle? Do you have how this would play out without the nickel per bottle tax in it, and what increase to get the same revenues, what increase we would need to take? And now it's at 50 of the 56%. Has anybody played with the numbers to look at what that 50 would need to be of the 56% to get to the same numbers without a new tax?
That could certainly be done, but then that would reduce the amount of general fund revenue that's available for other programs, and also politically it wouldn't have legs. You got to have something for the Republicans, and you got to have something for the Democrats, folks. I tried to make this a bipartisan approach. It borrows a little bit. Three-quarters of the money comes from the current general fund through this dedicated OLCC money. About a quarter of the money comes from the new revenue tax on beer, which, by the way, whereas we are now the lowest in the nation in beer tax, this would put us somewhere in the middle.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Representative Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You've got quite a few people in this room, in this building, who want to try to find an answer, who want to find a way to get to yes. So I hope you take my questions in the spirit of I'm just trying to understand how this would work, and are there any other consequences that we haven't anticipated?
And by the way, on your first comment, I absolutely agree. I think the vast majority of House and senators want to find a dedicated source of revenue for our state troopers, and this is one plan.
Great. On the handout that we're looking at, I have three questions. The first is in the bottom section, the second point, the second bullet, it refers to additional substance abuse resources. But in the comments, I also heard a mention of not only alcohol and drug treatment, but also mental health was referred to. Is this just sort of a shorthand way of referring to alcohol and drug and mental health treatment, or was the intent to cover just the substance abuse and not additional mental health?
No, we know that much of the many of the people that are suffering from mental health problems, that it is related to alcohol, but this would allow detox, treatment programs, you name it, anything that has a nexus with mental health / alcohol abuse.
Great.
And would more than double the current amount of money available for those kinds of programs.
Mr. Chair, may I also chime in a little bit there? We have four detox centers in the state of Oregon. It costs about $400,000 per year to float those on a budgetary process. And right now we have one in Portland, Salem, Eugene, and Medford. They've been quite successful. In fact, they've saved actual public dollars. And what I mean by that is when you have a detox center, you can take someone into a detox center. You can get them some help further on down the line if they have a alcohol problem. But your very intoxicated people end up either in three places. They're either going to end up in the emergency room, which costs us all more. They're going to end up in the jail, which they really don't belong there, and that also costs us more. Or they're going to end up laying on a street someplace, which may be very, very hazardous to their health. So detox centers, I think, are very important in this equation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have two other questions, if there's
please,
time.
Fire away.
Thank you. continuing along the lines of dollars for substance abuse and mental health treatment, there are many programs dealing with adult and juvenile treatment in not only the public safety side of the budget, but also in the human services side of the budget. Quite a few different agencies are sending money toward treatment programs. One thing that concerns me about the way budgeting can be handled is that having a dedicated source for not only patrol, but also for to share revenue with local government in this arena, and also for the additional treatment dollars. Do you think that there is a possibility in a couple of years or more than a couple of years down the road of backing money out of any of those areas, either the shared revenue shared with local jurisdictions or treatment dollars, because there's this dedicated source now, so then there's a run on the other general fund money that's being sent to those programs? What I would like to see is to make sure that we end up with a situation where we increase state troopers, don't renege on our commitments to local government, and increase treatment dollars. But what's to prevent the theoretical possibility of just backing out general fund dollars going to some of those programs?
Excellent question. Current alcohol taxes at 0.78 of a penny per bottle, half of that is dedicated through the 40-40-20 split to mental health alcohol rehab programs. That dedication remains. We don't touch it. We then dedicate another 0.5 of a penny immediately, or more than double, considerably more than double the amount. That dedication is locked up just as tight as the dedication to the 70% that goes to troopers. Now, you know, beyond that, human service costs in the Ways and Means process obviously are open to the Ways and Means process, the legislative process. But those dedications would remain and would be firm and would require legislation through both houses and signed by the governor to steal that money away for some other purpose.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to follow up on that. What we're trying to, and Representative Nathanson, we're trying to create a sacred cow here that you do not touch. That's what we're trying to do.
Well, but any other questions for this panel? Senator Wesley.
Just one. Can you define local law enforcement agencies? It's either the sheriffs or local police, and assuming it's better, how do you determine that split?
The county part would be sheriff, the city part would be
right.
Local police. Go ahead.
Correct. Mr. Chair, Senator Westland, first of all, it's a local control issue, and it, what their force is, whether it be county, it would be the sheriff's department, whether it be a municipality, it would be their local police department within the jurisdiction of their community itself. So that would be basically it.
I understand the distinction between the two different types of local law enforcement entities, but in here you very specifically have $11.4 million that local law enforcement would gain. My question is, how do you break down that 11.4? Who gets what?
That by population of the county, and the county would have discretion on whether they spent that on jails, on the district attorney's office prosecution, on more sheriffs, or whatever.
So it doesn't go to police department?
Correct.
It goes to the county for corrections purposes.
Judicial.
And it's their
Mr.
discretion.
Wilson, do you want to cut for
sure? I
that?
Think the proposal, and it may be briefer in the bullets, is that 5% would go to cities, 5% of that 15 or
of the new money.
Well, of the new money,
yeah.
And 10%,
15%
to counties, and 5% to cities.
Mm-hmm. and 10% to alcohol programs.
And Mr. Chair, Representative, I mean Senator Westland, the reason we did it in that breakdown is because when we lose the ONC revenues, the counties are going to lose more so than the municipalities.
And actually, the counties are hurting more today, even in those areas that aren't losing ONC. On the front page of today's Oregonian, you can see that Multnomah County is looking at $15 million in cuts.
All right, just one more question before we dismiss the panel and let others testify.
A quick question, the same break on your substance abuse program, how do you plan or what kind of formula would you use for allocating those dollars?
The same as the current formula, 40-40-20. 40 state, 40 county, 20 city programs. That's the current allocation formula that the 0.39 of a penny goes toward.
Well, Senator Monroe, Representative Esquivel, I know you guys have been working on this for a very long time. This seems like a very promising approach to make both sides of the aisle happy, and I appreciate it. I mean, today we put 100 troops on the streets, on our roads, and let's continue to keep working for a dedicated funding source.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Before we pull up Representative Butler and Senator Metzger, Ms. Robinson from Legislative Council was listening and wanted to comment on, well, she is willing to comment on the question.
If the question is repeated, please.
Representative Cameron, do you want to ask that question, or I'd be happy to rephrase?
I'll be happy to ask the question again. The question I had was on House Bill 3535. Which establishes in the state treasury a separate and distinct from the general fund, a fund for the Oregon State Patrol Division. And wouldn't it, and it dedicates 1% per of the revenues per the biennium into that fund. My question was, wouldn't it take a majority of the House and a majority of the Senate and the governor to sign that to make that dedicated fund go away or to be altered?
Shields, members of the subcommittee. I'm Joan Robinson from Legislative Council. Representative Cameron, yes. If House Bill 3535 became law, then Sections 1 and Sections 2 would be statutes. The monies would be in the fund when the next legislative session comes around. The Legislative Assembly would be required to appropriate 1% of the general fund monies, but they could avoid doing that, but they'd still have to avoid doing it in a law. It wouldn't necessarily say, we're not going to do it. It would say, here's how much we're appropriating to this State Police Patrol Division fund. And somebody would get out a calculator and say, but that's not 1%. And the bill could read notwithstanding ORS whatever this becomes, or it would be read by a court if it weren't 1%, presumably to impliedly amend the requirement. So something would have to happen either way.
Sure.
I mean, something would have to happen on the expenditure limitation too. The fund itself, although it's a continuously appropriated fund, the legislature would put expenditure limitations on it.
And a follow-up question, if I may. So that would be no different than whatever proposal comes out of this proposal that we just saw or are hearing about in general, which is, doesn't happen to be in a bill yet, that would a legislative body could change the percentage of the 56% that they're dedicating to the state patrol that year in particular, or change anything they want that year.
Representative Shields, Representative Cameron, yes. Unless something is in the Constitution, unless a law is in the Constitution or a provision is in the Constitution, the legislature is free to change it any time it wants to with a majority vote and a signature by the governor or people what in all the appropriate ways of making law.
Thank you.
Do you want to add anything, Ms. Wilson?
No.
Thank you very much, Ms. Robinson. Let's see, where were we? We are now with Representative Butler and Senator Metzger.
guess I'll start. I'm going to be very brief. I'm Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26, and pleased to work with my colleagues as part of this work group over the last number of weeks. I think I just want to point out a couple of things as your discussion goes on and ask that when the chair feels appropriate, Mazen from Legislative Revenue come up to explain the mechanics, because this is a different mechanism, and that has not been explained to you yet. My role in the work group was to come up with a mechanism for creating this new funding source to answer a lot of the issues that have been brought up over different biennia about the impact of raising any type of alcohol tax, particularly on our local microbrew industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a new source of revenue. It is not an increase in the privilege tax. We have heard over and over again, you know, from our brewers, we all have, about if you raise their cost, that they're going to lay people off and they won't be competitive, that you need to do it up the line on a retail level of some form, and then we're all on equal footing and it doesn't hurt us. That's what this does. And Mazen from Legislative Revenue can explain that to you. But essentially what this does is use the three-tier system to collect this revenue almost all this the beer goes through our distribution system. As it moves into the warehouse and comes out from the distribution system, not unlike another piece of legislation that I won't mention because Representative Berger might go nutso on me, but it uses that same process, and so that you can then collect this increase at that level and does not affect our brewers at all, and it puts everybody on the same playing field. This is what we've heard over and over again. If you can do it at a retail level, you know, we're all playing the same game. That's what this does. It is a different mechanism. It also takes away the idea that you have to have 50 revenue officers. I think, Doug, that we've come up might take four more OLCC auditors or five to, and Mazen might be able to give you more details on that. But the manpower is less. We use our current system, since all the beer comes through that distribution system, to collect this new revenue. It lowers state costs. It makes auditing much easier, and it allows us to move forward to do this without having to have the same objections that we have had when we've tried to raise the privilege tax on our own brewers. So that's a point I'd like to just defer to Mazen to explain that for questions you may have. The second thing is, and then I'll turn over to my good colleague, Representative Butler, that you've heard before, is to emphasize what Senator Monroe has said. What we've tried to do is put together the two basic principles of that people have worked on. The idea of dedicating a source of general fund, the idea of creating some initial revenues that are as recession-proof as possible to sustain the decisions that we make. And we believe this does that. It's pushing back and saying, okay, let's dedicate part of the revenue of the general fund, but let's try to do it as tightly as we can so that it doesn't fall victim to the general fund variations. And we know that the liquor taxes do go up in good times or bad. And so if we're going to dedicate, quote, part of the general fund, as Representative Cameron was in his line of questioning, was let's make sure it's consistent general fund and not something that's also subject to go down. And by doing it this way, I really applaud my colleagues, Representative Butler and Representative Esquivel in particular, for moving that together with this new assessment that is sustainable, that takes care of some of the other issues we've talked about when we've talked about raising the privilege taxes. I think it's good policy. I think it moves us forward. I think it gets us to where we want to be, and that is, if things aren't as good 2 years from now, we don't lose the 100 state troopers that we added in 2001 and start all over again. That's my comment, but I would encourage you at some time in the hearing to have Mazen explain how this would work and how it is different than the current privilege tax without messing with that, and we keep that in place. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Representative Butler, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Shields and members of the committee. House Representative District 60, Tom Butler, and I was going to be even briefer than Senator Metzger. First, to express gratitude to Senator Monroe and Representative Esquivel for allowing me to work with them in the work group to find dedicated funds and to seek to augment those dedicated funds. And I had planned to go ahead and discuss the almost identical kinds of things, that this is not the privilege tax. It does not change the existing privilege tax nor the structure of that distribution of the privilege tax. One of the questions that was asked just a moment ago by Senator Metzger to me as we discussed some of the issues were that presently we collect from the privilege tax for mental health about $9.5 million, I believe, per biennium. This would nearly double that amount based upon the formula which we're working on at this particular time, while still dedicating 50% of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission distributable 56% to the general fund. That would actually move it towards the dedicated fund, similar to House Bill 3535. And then I wanted to go ahead and have Mazen Malik from Legislative Revenue Office explain to you the iterations of how the money flows through the system, using the three-tier distribution method that Senator Metzger has referred to protect and really don't have to grow anything when you use the existing distribution system. It's one that's true, tested, and tried in the past, and that we can we got it down to the point where we would increase the existing. I think Doug shared with us that we were using part of one auditor right now, that we would end up with one additional full-time auditor that would be working on the distribution and collection of the tax because of the use of a very simple system which is already in place. So, and it would also then provide for a collection of that at the distribution channel and the of the tax itself, and allow for it to bring the actual distributors on board when beer is brewed in Oregon and moves into the distribution channel. That's when it's taxed in the distribution channel, versus when the beer is actually brewed and sold in a brew house, it never moves into the distribution channel. So again, I wanted to express my appreciation for the work that Senator Metzger and Senator Monroe have been engaged with Representative Sal Esquivel and others, and for the privilege it was for me to work with them as we kind of work through some of the numbers and as we continue to massage the amounts.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Any questions for Senator and Representative? Senator Winters.
No.
Oh, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Cameron.
Thank you. I do have a question about how the dedicated funding works, but it's not so much the technical thing, it's the intended purpose. I want to make sure I'm clear also on the intent. When I read the words, I'm trying to be very careful here. It's referring to the need for the patrol division's budget. The patrol division, in addition to adding state troopers, includes some other kinds of activities. And I want to read just a sentence or two here and make sure that I'm very clear that that is the intent. It's important to have the support for the troopers who were on the road so that they can do their job. We've seen reorganizations in the department's budget in the last few years so that troopers were actually taken off the road to do non-trooper type activities. And the point is to free up trooper time to make sure they're back patrolling the highways or responding to calls. So one of the things that we've read in our materials currently, sworn personnel perform functions relating to evidence management, vehicle maintenance, and administrative work. And so in the budget that we just passed this morning, in addition to 100 troopers, there are some new staff for all those support and related activities. I want to be very clear that the intent of this proposal that we're hearing about is for the patrol division's budget, which for every X number of troopers you add, and that's up to the superintendent and other people to determine, but every time you add a significant number of troopers, there would be then the support they need so they can do their trooper jobs. Is that the intent?
Absolutely. It is. In working, what these numbers were would be the support staff necessary for those troopers, you know, on the road. And that's the numbers we've been working with, understanding that support is part of being able to have that realization.
Thank you.
And before I get to Representative Cameron, I wanted to have Mr. Wilson comment on the support that's necessary for troops to get on the road.
Mr. Chair, the Patrol Division, members of the subcommittee, the Patrol Division right now includes evidence techs, some of the support staff, the command structure out in the field. There are other parts of the department that provide support including information systems and dispatch, for that matter, is in another division. The $96 million that this proposal is discussed about replacing with the oil, or with the combination, is the patrol division $96 million that you passed on the House floor today.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator and Representative, for coming forward. I'm assuming this is in the same. Our testimony here is still about this proposal that was brought forth.
Yes.
And you got into talking about privilege taxes and collections and where that's all done. Can you share with me? Because I heard point of distributor, i.e., I'm thinking of a beer distributor who actually gets the beer dropped off at their place and then they take it to a restaurant or a store. How's that work in microbrews who are brewing their own kegs and possibly, I think, I'm not that expert, but maybe even are limited to they can distribute themselves based on some laws we've passed. How does that get collected?
Representative Cameron, I'm going to defer most of that response to Mazin because he can tell you exactly how that works. The gist of it, he'll give you the details, is that if when you reach a certain level and you self-distribute, you have to have a distributor's license, so therefore you do fall under this, you'll fall under the bill. And the only ones that won't fall under are the ones that are so small that they're not distributing to third parties. But when they got to a point, you know, where they actually do self-distribute, then they have to have a license and therefore they fall under it and they become, you know, part of that. And he can explain in great detail how it all works and I think can answer your questions probably better than I.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Millick, would you like to come forward? Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your testimony. And before we get any further, is there anyone here to testify who came from over 100 miles? Okay.
Afternoon. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Mazin Laddick, Legislative Revenue Office. And to touch briefly on this process, this is the new system, the collection system or the taxation system that we've dubbed the Metzger Plan because most of it was the ideas that was preceded and pushed by Senator Metzger. Just to go through with the sheet that I've given you here, we have three major sections. To explain today's privilege tax quickly, today's privilege tax is levied on manufacturers and importers of beer. And tax rate is about $2.60 per barrel. That comes to about 8.4 cents per gallon, or 7.79 cents per bottle of 12 ounces. Now, this is collected by the OLCC. They send monthly reports from the manufacturers and importers and with the payments and so on. Once that money comes in, the distribution of that privilege tax comes as 50% to mental health. And that is also in statutes that is distributed 40-40-20, 40% for DHS, 40% through the county system process, and 20% for cities and detox and so on. That's a statutory distribution. The other 50%, though, goes to the OLCC account to join up with the rest of liquor money. That's a liquor markup that we collect in addition to wine and slightly other stuff that comes through the OLCC process. That money is divided by 56% to the state general fund and 44% to locals. That's about 34% to cities and 10% to counties. Now, in this proposal, this system just stays as is. There is no change in that system, nothing to be touched or manipulated here. Just leave it as it is. In top of this, in addition, an amendment, if you will, we add the new tax structure, which adds primarily 5 cents a bottle. And if you go to the back of your sheet, that will give you what kind of bottle and increase and what we end up with at the end. So this 5 cents a bottle is to be paid by the wholesaler or distributor. So in the legal language that council is working on, what it says that the distributors or the wholesalers would be collecting from the licensees, which are the retailers. So, and the idea is that they would be collecting immediately before they are actually dropping the product with the retailers. So that's the point of taxation where the taxes or the taxation occur, rather than at the time of production or time of importation. And that's the difference in where the point of taxation occurs. Now, to go to the breweries, there is about small breweries, about 97 of them that exist here in the state of Oregon, about 97 to 100. Those are small brewery pubs. These do not distribute, nor do they have license to distribute. So these, they produce their own and they sell their own. Some people can go, or consumers could go and buy kegs out of them and so on. But there's no product in the distribution chain for them. That will not be part of this new taxing structure. What would be, however, from the microbrewery system is known 9 large licensed breweries. Those breweries are also licensed to be distributors as well as breweries. Those would be part of the process of paying the taxes on the amounts that they distribute down to the retail level, not the amounts that they serve in their establishments or their brew pubs. Now, having said that process, since they are actually engaging in the process of collecting, the proposal is to give them allowance of about 1% of the revenue for that process of collection and transmission of the amount of money and so on. And this is not necessarily unprecedented in collection laws and in the statutes in Oregon. Now, that 5 cents is primarily about 50 mils, as we call it, and it's per 12-ounce bottle. However, in the statutes, it's proportional, of course. In the statutes, you're not going to see anywhere written about 5 cents or per gallon. What you would say it, see it as a barrel. A barrel is 31 gallons. So what we would see in the law is $16.50 per barrel. That's a new tax amount. And in addition to the $2.60 that we have today. So that will be on top. The tax will be due monthly with payments of the same process due to the OLCC. The OLCC will be administering, and the cost of new administration and so on, we thought at allowance also of the collection cost of about 1%. 1% for the distributors, 1% for the OLCC. If you're thinking about any tax revenue or 2% collection and administration cost, that's not bad of a deal. Finally, the distribution system. This is the last thing you have in the sheet. The distribution system, as it was thought by the different senators and representatives who were part of this discussion group or the beer tax group, the police funding task force. The way it will come, as we know, once we increase taxes on beer or on anything, that is, basically any time you tax, you increase the price, and consequently what happens is you're pushing down consumption. As we know in supply and demand, when you tax something, consumption will go down. So we allow for...
Unless you're an addict.
Well, I'll have drink to that, Mr. Chair. allowance for... also, this is part of the language that we're putting in the proposed bill. But 2.78% is set aside for what we termed as the hold harmless provision. This is to hold the sources or uses that are receiving revenue today from the reduction that might occur if the new tax is enacted. So after the 22.78% and after the 2% that we had previously for collection and administration, you get that net amount, that net amount will go to a new account, a new fund that comes and is separate from the general fund. 70% of that would start flowing to the patrol division fund, 10% to mental health, 20 to local government, that is 15 counties and 5 cities. And then finally, the last bullet talks about the new dedication of the general fund amounts. Remember, there is 56% of today's OLCC transfers goes to the general fund. Once you could dedicate half of that or 28% primarily of what OLCC revenue is today to the troops. And primarily that is true. It is an exchange, almost an equal exchange between general fund money and general fund money. However, this is an OLCC money, and once it becomes a dedicated fund, it is not a general fund amounts anymore because it's not transferred to the general fund. So it becomes other fund in the language of budgeting. Not only that, but in addition, believe it or not, or like it or not, the more there is alcohol revenue and money revenue, there is a possibility that this amount of the general fund that comes out of drinking could actually trigger the kicker. Because the general fund, and we could actually be sending some alcohol revenue back with the kicker. Because the general fund, as defined, includes these amounts. If you...
Can we do that just for beer drinkers?
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
Well, yes, Mr. Chair, that might make some of us very rich. So once that you establish this within the process of the law, what you have done is actually remove these amounts from the general fund definition, and it became an other fund definition and does not enter into that process. So that's an additional legal process or legal language in the revenue structure, if you will, that additionally this would provide for you.
We appreciate your testimony. I think since this will be more thoroughly vetted in revenue, I'm going to use the prerogative of the chair to get to the public testimony. If you would like more detailed one-on-ones, I'm sure Mr. Lee would be happy to meet with any of the members to discuss details of this. But I think, you know, I appreciate all the hard work you put in. Again, we put 100 troops on the road today, and I hope this body will continue to look for a dedicated funding source.
Mr. Can I just ask one real quick question? I just want to make sure that it goes back to the privilege tax up above at $2.06 per barrel, 60 cents per barrel. If I'm a manufacturer in the state of Oregon, I'm going to pay that based on what I manufacture, correct?
That's correct.
Now, if I bottle that beer and then send it on to the distributor, I will fall under the beer in the bottle now is going to fall underneath the new tax structure, correct?
Mr. Chair, President, that is correct. If you sell it, however, whether it's bottle or it's a barrel, you could do both. As long as you put it through the distribution chain and it goes to a retailer, then you will be under the new structure. If you sell this in your own establishment, let's say your food pub, the closest example is the Rams, where they have these big things that they produce. They would not be under that new tax structure.
But they follow up, if I may, but they would pay the $2.60 per barrel?
That does not go away.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Let's jump into the public testimony and make sure that everybody who signed up has a chance to testify. Let's bring up Mr. DeLashmet and Mr. Leedy. And then after that, Ms. Weiser and Mr. Groner.
For the record, Brian DeLashmet representing the Oregon State Police Officers Association. I appreciate the opportunity to address this panel today. We have been here before you before. This is a little bit different venue. We're talking about a revenue plan in front of you, but we felt this was so important that we needed to, in fact, be kind of laying this plan out in a number of different venues and so forth. Let me start by saying, reiterating what we've been saying all along coming into this session on behalf of the OSPOA. which is we had three priorities going into the session. One is dedicated funding, and make note of the order. Dedicated funding. Second is 24/7. And three, which is related to dedicated funding, is the ability for growth. We continue to work, although we very much appreciate the 100 additional troopers and the support staff that were added today. We think that's a very good start on the way back. We have continued to say that we're not done yet. This is a 2-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year plan. We came into this expressing a 2-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year plan. We don't want anyone to forget that even if we get to 24/7 this session, we cannot believe in our hearts that we're done with this process. We can't come back next session and say, okay, well, we did it last session, but we got you to 24/7. That's all the farther we can go. And with that, we have continued to work on dedicated funding. We are privileged to participate in this working group on this new plan. We think it does include the elements of not only 35-35, but the other elements which make it additional dedicated funding through the beer tax, a distribution tax, which is different, as you heard, from the privilege tax. And so short of saying that we've endorsed this, because we have not endorsed this plan, but we have worked as a part of the working group on this as an effort to see if there is something that we can get laid out there as a group that's bipartisan. And with that, I'll stop my comments.
For the record, my name is Jeff Leedy. I'm the president of the Oregon State Police Officers Association. I'd just like to reiterate what Mr. DeLashman said. Those were our three priorities coming into this session. Dedicated funding, 24/7, and room for growth. And I also do appreciate the budget that was passed today with 100 new troopers. I also want to thank the members of the legislature. I do know that, having been here now since we started off and on, that there isn't anybody in this building who doesn't think this is a priority. I know that, and I think they just disagree on how to get the job done. I'm hoping that before the session's over that they can reach a bipartisan agreement, and there's some people working very hard to do so. I did go out and work yesterday. My uniform still fits, Senator Westland. And in 8 hours, I think I drove 310 miles. I took two people to jail. I covered two accidents, assisted 16 motorists, and I only wrote four citations in that time. But 310 miles in 8 hours of patrol is an awful lot, and I was an expert. So the 100 troopers is going to help. It is a start. If you spread 100 troopers across the state, it's not going to go very far. But we really appreciate your work in this area.
Thank you. Good testimony. If I may add one additional thing. When I took this client on, one of the things that struck me is the commitment of these troopers to trying to get their jobs done. And you've heard that whether they have 100 additional or 200 additional or get cut, that they're going to be the last person standing out there. They're going to do the job. But the thing that struck me more than anything was the stories that I heard from the troopers saying that at the same time they may be at the scene of a particular accident, and it may be a fatality accident, they are getting called to say there is a drunk driver on such and such a highway, it's 20 miles away. They get a second report. Somebody else calls in and says, we are currently following this drunk driver, and they're 15 miles away. And that trooper, who's the only one on duty, cannot release themselves from the fatality accident. And then when the fifth, sixth, or seventh call about this drunk driver finally comes in and they say, we're following that drunk driver, and they have just hit somebody broadside, these troopers are devastated.
Good point. Before I get to Representative Cameron's question, and just for the record, Mr. Lashman, does the Troopers Association have a position on House Bill 3535?
For clarification, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we do not have a position on 3535. We have, at my advice, actually, throughout the session, avoided taking a position on a specific funding plan of dedicated funding. We do not have currently a position on the new alternative plan, but we have not taken a position on any plan because historically this association has taken positions, and sometimes politically they've run afoul and not gotten through anyway. So we've chosen to try and say, here's a plan, here's a plan, here's a plan. You guys have to decide.
Thank you. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to clarify, because House Bill 3535 is bipartisan, has a lot of bipartisan support. I just wanted to make sure it doesn't matter to you how the funds get dedicated as long as they get dedicated.
Again, Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, our three goals have been dedicated, 24/7, and growth.
Thank you.
Any questions for this panel?
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your service. All right. Next up, Ms. Weiser and Mr. Groner.
I'm Jody Weiser with Tax Fairness Oregon. This has been an issue we've been following all session and actually started following last summer as we were reading the Oregonian. Clearly, you understand the need for state troopers, and we don't need to talk about that. But alcohol as a source of tax for this services makes good policy sense. Like the rest of Oregon, of the country, Oregon believes in sin taxes and in fees, like the bottle bill, tobacco taxes, gas taxes, hunting license. We go along with the rest of the country if that's a way to raise revenue. However, whereas our tobacco tax and our gas taxes place us at about 14th, 15th in the country for taxation, our beer tax is tied with Kentucky for the bottom place in the country. Revenue from hard liquor brings in about $126 million per year, providing funds for the general fund and for cities and counties. But beer and wine together bring in a little more than $14 million. And yet, obviously, there's not a big relationship to the need for state troopers. It says hard liquor is the problem in our state, and that's what causes all the accidents that need the state troopers. So there's a political problem here that has kept us from funding the needs of our states adequately. This is not because of the problems that one causes, but only politics. Our current tax being at the bottom of the states isn't appropriate. Our beers, Bridgeport, Widmer, sell in other states where taxes are far higher than they are here. In fact, those beers in either Washington State or California would be taxed more than nine times higher than they are in Oregon. So obviously it's time for us to change this tax. We need a dedicated source, but we also need a new source of funds. It's not fair to take money from Head Start kids and give it to state troopers when there are taxpayers and drinkers who need help participate in funding our state police in this way. I'm one of those people that never pays a tax on hard liquor because I don't happen to drink it, except if I'm making buttered rum sauce or something for bread pudding. But I drink beer and wine, and I should be paying for state troopers when I drink my beer and wine. Thank you.
Good testimony. Mr. Garner?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner, representing AFSCME, Council 75. And to be very clear, Mary Botkin handles the state police budget. What I've handled since the beginning of the session is door-to-dooring and trying to find out where everybody was to the point of exhaustion and asking the governor for a meeting, which frankly brought us all together. At that point, I then met with legislative leaders who just met with you. I walked away because they came in with a product. So I feel that AFSCME's pretty much done their job. Mary will take the budget over when we increase it. And I'm here just to talk about the ones who keep them safe are our members. I heard a few of you, thank you, talk about that. I won't mention it. They're listed here. The cuts were there for my members, as were for patrol. Patrol will tell you if it isn't for our members, they in fact aren't safe. The only comment I can say is I really thank you so much for finally listening to new revenue. My only comment will be a bit different, having been a revenue person rather than ways and means, is the fact is when people talk to me about why we need new money, the fact is we don't keep up, even if you think the billions that we've spent and the hundreds of millions. I know Senator Westland knows this, and that's why he has a tax measure. If you looked at what the cost of K-12 now is, since 95 when we equalized and had to go. Basically now we're at 25% out of the local property in 75 state. Therein lies your state police and all other problems. The fact is the growth of your cost, if it were on a chart for that, for public education, because of Measure 5 has done this, while at the same time your revenue has done this. What am I saying? In the 90s, during the wonderful halcyon days of the tremendous growth of Intel and high tech, you had revenue growth, but you never really saw growth in patrol or my support staff, quite frankly, in our Head Start programs or my mental health programs at the county level, because we haven't faced up to the point as a state that we can't keep up with the cost because of the ballot measures we've passed. So what am I saying? We do need a dedicated source of revenue. And quite frankly, I think the proposal that legislators have brought to you today is dedicated. If you ask me, if AFSCME supports 35-35, my fear with that would have been, all along, what I've watched since 1973 and watching the legislature, is the fact is, if you think you've dedicated something, the next legislature may disagree with you. I'm not trying to be vicious about a measure. The fact is they have the right to do that. So to the extent you can seriously dedicate a fund, and we would certainly support alcohol, beer, for patrol, as well as our support staff who have had their significant cuts along the way, which was adversely impacted the safety of our troopers, we would appreciate your consideration of the proposal that the senators and the representatives of both parties have brought before you, and you so graciously have listened to, and thanks for putting up with all of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Weiser, Mr. Groner. Is there anyone else here to testify on these bills or ideas?
For the record, Rick Bennett, Director of Government Relations for AARP Oregon. Very quickly, I've been before this committee advocating in support of additional troopers. I just want to be on the record also advocating for dedicated funding. I've testified before the revenue committees indicating that based on surveys we've done of our members, there is support for increasing the beer tax by, say, a nickel, a six-pack. That was for mental health programs, but I've also heard from our members and chapters regarding their concern for public safety and specifically state troopers, and I feel fairly confident in indicating that increasing the beer tax for that purpose would also be supported by our members. Thank you.
Mr. Bennett. All right. One comment from Nancy, representing Nathanson, before we close, or is it a question?
Well, I have a comment too, if I may, Mr. Chair.
I have a question for staff, if that's okay. In two different pieces of testimony this afternoon, we heard about the relative size of how much is contributed to OLCC revenues by liquor and wine versus beer. And, you know, we rank, you know, up in the sort of middle half of the states with one revenue source and at the bottom for another. Could you please confirm for me, I think I heard that beer accounts for 83% of the OLCC alcohol sales?
I heard that. I would have to go back and confirm. This is not my area of expertise, but I did hear someone mention that today.
Thank you. Representative Baskerville, would you like to take a swing at that?
Yes, for the record, Sal Esquivel, representative District 6. I did some substantial comparisons, and I'm going to give you probably the easiest comparison of all. I have a bottle of beer, a glass of wine, and a mixed drink. The bottle of beer pays 7/10 of a penny on that bottle of beer taxes. The wine, my member certain correct, is about 6 or 7 cents for that glass of wine. The mixed drink is in excess of 50 cents. So that's the taxation distribution part of on revenue part of it. But yet, it does constitute 83% of all alcohol sales in the state of Oregon is beer.
Thank you.
By tax or by volume? Dollar volume?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, obviously by volume, because the taxes aren't even, are minimal.
Okay, I just,
so we just
Representative
follow
Cameron and then Senator Westland, then we're going to get out of here.
Representative Escobar, so at 50 cents and a 26-ounce bottle of, or 26-ounce bottle of alcohol, we're talking the tax is $10 if you're pouring a shot?
Mr. Chair, I believe, and Representative Cameron, I believe for every dollar you pay for alcohol in the state of Oregon, I believe 50 cents of it's tax.
Thank you.
Close?
A little over half.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll get clarification on this as the bill goes through the process. Let's just keep moving. Senator Westland, and then we'll adjourn.
I just want to compliment Representative Escobar and Senator Monroe. Rod, this is really good work. I've listened to you in little hall conversations, and you've been talking to everyone that would possibly listen, and then some, both of you. So I just really want to compliment you on this. This is good representation. You're doing it right.
We appreciate your work, Representative Esquivel, and also your leadership on this. Anyone else? This meeting is adjourned.